So a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we're supposed to have 1.5 hour meditation. What I will do is, I will share for another 30 minutes. Then after that, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you all do the meditation. So now we will continue, 1:30 to 2, continue with the sharing. Okay. The same book, what is awareness and the difference between awareness and consciousness? Page 16.
Page 16. 3 types of right view. Reason why in the teaching the Buddha said you must have right thoughts following the Noble Eightfold Path, born of right view. What are these right view? It is right understanding, born of wisdom. Reason why you need to act according to right understanding and wisdom, leading to true action, which means you act following the Noble Eightfold Path. Starting with the right view and right understanding, you act, and there are 3 major areas of right view or right understanding. They are 1. Right understanding or right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. That is how the advice of the Buddha comes about, how his teaching comes about, and how the precepts he taught comes about, and how the Noble Eightfold Path and the whole of his other teachings comes about. 2. Then, the second right view. Right view with regards to how you function as a human being, following the Paticca Samuppada, terms Citta Niyama, the nature's order of mind, how the mind function following the 12 link or the Paticca Samuppada teaching of the Buddha. And 3, the third one is the right view with regards to the essential Dharma, all of truth, and the Dharma that Buddha teaches, which is termed Dharma Niyama. So these 3 right view of Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dharma Niyama are very powerful and very important right view or truth. These 6, 7, and 8 consciousness are nothing more than our 5 aggregates of form and mind. The moment the 6 consciousness arises, it is still pure perception, no discrimination yet. But the moment you act according to your views, opinion, and conditionings and belief system, then your ego and discriminative mind surfaces. This is where all the problems start. This is where all the wrong thoughts, the discrimination and stirring of the mind happens. These reactions and stirrings of the mind arise because this one is still unenlightened, hence without wisdom. But the moment you are enlightened, even as a sotapanna, you will have the right understanding. The first 3 fetters of self-delusion, doubt, and attachment to rites and rituals are already severed. They already know that this form and mind is not real, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto as the me and the I. Because this ego, the egoic mind, has been attenuated until like it has the understanding that there is nobody inside there. It will then also understand anicca, dukkha, and anatta. That's why when you are a sotapanna, first stage of sainthood, you are already saved. But there are still other factors that can affect them, because the sotapanna still have sensual desires, ill will, and aversion, but not strong. The moment they realize sakadagami, the second stage of sainthood, the sensual desire and aversion are attenuated, with very little left. That is why the moment they become anagami, the third stage of sainthood, sensual desire and ill will are completely rooted out. Then during that time, the last 5 fetters are, they still must work on it until finally the last fetter, avijja, ignorance, also gone. The last five factors are attachments to form and formless jhana, mana, minor conceit, restlessness of mind, and avijja. The moment all these last five factors are rooted out, this discriminative mind no more, because it has awakened, and the five aggregates of form and mind will become pure aggregates, no more grasping or upadana kanda. Do you know what pure aggregates is? Pure because it is non-grasping, no more egoic mind to grasp and cling at feeling, cling at what you perceive, and cling at mental activities or sankhara, mental states, that are being conditioned into. Then whatever you become conscious of through your eighth consciousness, you will not be deceived because of your awareness and wisdom. Then you will know how to act, and you will know how to input the pure content of consciousness. These are the eight types of consciousness that the Mahayana teaches. They are just the five aggregates of form and mind, nothing more. The sixth consciousness is the Sanya aggregates. The seventh consciousness is the Sankhara aggregate. The egoic mind, the discriminative mind, is basically Sankhara, mental activities or mental concocting. This mental concoction is very active when you are heedless. Before you develop the ability to be aware and mindful, you cannot see all this because they act very fast. Split seconds, you already get angry, become emotional, and you want to hit out at others. Next, importance of heedfulness. That is the reason why when the Buddha taught sati, he emphasized on heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you cannot deal with life. You are unable to understand life. To understand life, you must be heedful. And to be heedful, there are two paths. Dhammapada verse 23 said, "The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one," meaning if you keep on these two practices, one will realize the supreme bond-free enlightenment, Nibbana, means assured of enlightenment in the here and the now. As the saying goes, the heedful never dies, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21 also expressed the same. Then he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. It means you will have eternal life. You will never die ignorant. Hence, no more rebirth due to avijja, implying you will eventually realize arahantship, the fourth stage of sainthood, and beyond. So this part, ever mindful and constantly meditative, means constantly cultivating noble eightfold path, is what heedfulness is. When you combine these two, you are heedful. You are heedful amid life. You must be heedful not only when you are in a retreat. In daily mindfulness, sati must be very stable, but you must also have clear comprehension as well. That's the reason why it is mentioned in the teaching, your sati sampajanya, mindfulness and clear comprehension must also be very stable. Avijja Sutta. In the Avijja Sutta, it is clearly stated that this sati sampajanya is step 5 of the 10 steps leading to enlightenment. The Buddha mentioned this is Avijja Sutta. You can go to our website at brotherteo.com and check. It is all there. There are 10 steps for you to follow to develop the cultivation so that you can realize enlightenment in the here and the now. And the first 3 steps, all Kayamitas will have. What is the first step? Yes, to have noble friends or Kalayamitas, spiritual Dharma friends. If you are part of our Kayalamitas, how can you not have Dharma friends? You surely have a lot. And there are 2 types of Kalayamita. One is just ordinary or normal Dharma friends who walk the path of Dharma to cultivate and progress along the path of Dharma. The other one is Dharma friends who have Dharma and that one is more difficult to find. As mentioned by Sister Eng Bee just now, these noble friends who have the Dharma, they can really guide and teach you. They can show you the way. So this first step to having Dharma friends is very important. All Kalayamitas will have this attribute. Then the second step, also you all will have. Why? Because if you have Kalayamitas, you will know when there are Dharma sessions or classes. Like our case, we have our Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday weekly classes, right? Then when we have Dharma talks in the temple and other places, you all will be noticed. So having the opportunity...
Notified. You all will be notified.
You all will be notified. So having the opportune time to constantly listen to the true Dharma is step two. And this listening to the true Dharma is very important step. Because from this step two, you get to develop step three and step four. What is step three? Should be very easy, isn't it? After you have listened to the true Dharma, what will happen to you? Your practice, of course, you will carry on separately. But when you listen to the true Dharma, what do you develop? Yes, first and second turning wisdom, leading to faith in the Buddha and his teaching. First turning wisdom is Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, discourses of the Buddha. So if you keep listening to the true Dharma, you will continuously straighten your views, right? That's how you develop Sutta Maya Panya. Then, if you are still not so sure of the teaching, what must you do? The Buddha said, you must reflect, contemplate, and inquire into them. Like, why did the Buddha say all this? Like the first noble truth, eight realities. You should go through them one by one. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering, old age sickness, and death are also suffering? How can I understand them? I need to reflect, contemplate, and investigate into it to see whether it stands up to investigation or not. This is the second turning wisdom term, Chinta Maya Panya. But most of us nowadays tend to associate birth with joy, looking forward to being a grandparent or to being a daddy or a mummy. Then, looking forward to the full moon day, you only think of the good things, but you never think of the problematic things arising. When there are complications during the birth process, not all birth processes are smooth sailing. There can be complications. Sometimes the complication can be very traumatic. If the complication is such that the doctor comes out and asks you which one you want to save, the mother or the child, I can tell you such a test is not easy to pass. Of course, you can request the doctor to save both, but the doctor will tell you, I will try my best, but you must decide. Otherwise, it will be very difficult, especially so when the birth is an unusual birth. They call it bridge, where the legs comes out first, not the head. When there is a complication, they must do something. But nowadays, they can have cesarean birth. They can cut open the womb and take it out. But if it's choked inside there for too long, not enough oxygen, and the mother doesn't have enough strength or energy to push, it can die inside. That's why the doctor must act fast, and they will do whatever they can. So when there is complication, only do we understand why birth is suffering. Then we can contemplate and reflect further. The moment there is birth, what follows? Old age, sickness, and death, right? So, the Buddha is correct. birth is truly suffering. Birth is not what you think. If you don't have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, then suffering will arise because birth, old age, sickness and death, all these are first noble truth realities common to all humanity. If you live life long enough, you must confront them, and whether you suffer or you don't suffer depends on your wisdom, your Dharma understanding to understand all this. That's why the five daily contemplation of the Buddha are very important. The Buddha said, you must reflect and contemplate that this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. For it goes the way of nature. And it is non-self, dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence not me, and I must not cling on to it via saying, this is me, this is I, and all this can be mine. If I attach and cling to this body, what happens? I will worry about it getting old, sick and dying. And I will suffer because I believe this is me. This is the ego, the personality. But instead, this one is just a vehicle and tool chemically conditioned out for you to come to this existential world to use. So use it wisely and not be deluded by it. This body is only elements. He has got no knowing, and it goes the way of nature. So how can it be you? And moreover, these elements are always in a state of flux, depending originating and condition arising, following nature's conditions. Similarly, you can see how these five aggregates of form and mind, the human being with his life force animating you into a human being, is also depending originating, hence not a permanent unchanging entity. With awareness-based meditation, you will see and understand all this in the meditation. That's how the Buddha mind shrink. Remember, the Buddha saw the four signs and he left the palace in search for enlightenment, to seek answer to the problem of old age, sickness and death. The fourth sign is a holy man, a samana. This is why he chose to go the spiritual way to meditate. When he meditates and realizes this law of dependent origination, the paticca-samuppada, he realizes the form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence not him and his problem is gone or no more. Birth, old age, sickness and death have got nothing to do with him. It pertains to the form and mind, the human being. With this wisdom, he went into cessation and realized Nibbana and this true nature within. That is how he frees. So this is the understanding that can unfold. The three turnings, wisdom and yoniso manasikara. When you listen to the true Dharma, you will develop a lot of contemplative wisdom via constant contemplation, reflection and investigation. When it stands up to investigation, your faith becomes very strong. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching is step three. Listening to the true Dharma can bring about the first and second turning wisdom. With this first and second turning wisdom cultivated, your understanding will start to stabilize and you become very confident. You can assimilate all these understandings into your nature. That is how Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom born of first and second turning wisdom of Sutta Maya Panya and Chinta Maya Panya comes to be. When this wisdom stabilizes, you will have this Yoniso Manasikara initial wisdom. Then the next time when you fall sick, get old and about to die, that understanding will surface to let you understand that this form and mind is impermanent, dependent originating and condition arising. hence not a permanent unchanging entity, not you, non-self and empty. This understanding straight away will free you because you clearly understand that this body is not me. It goes the way of nature. It will grow old, get sick and die. So let it be. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. Just accept that reality and you will be free. 5. Daily contemplation. That is why the first three of the 5 daily contemplation that the Buddha said, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. It's very important, and every day you must reflect and contemplate upon them. The fourth contemplation is separation from your loved ones and prized possessions. Separation will occur because there are all dependent originating entities or phenomena, dependent on the conditions they arise. When the conditions cease to be, they cease to be. That's why they will separate from you one day. Even when you are still around, you may think you own them, but when your breath stops, your identity will be erased, and you still will be separated from them. Separation from loved ones, your prized possession, and the things that you hold on to dearly will happen because this is a reality which you can't escape. When it happens, if you have the Dharma, you can accept what happens because all these are dependent, originating, and conditioned arising entities within the phenomenal world of consciousness. They are just phenomena arising and passing away, following nature's law, and they have the universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering. That is, when you attach and cling on to them, you suffer because they are impermanent. Hence, empty and non-self, not what you think. All these understandings will surface, and this wisdom will free your mind. This is how you develop clear, penetrative understanding. Then every time you see something, this wisdom will surface. He is just the way he is. The world is the world. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. It will not stir your mind anymore. Even if he says something very abusive, very hurtful and difficult for most people to endure, with your understanding, you can still accept him for what he is, and you can still have compassion and love towards them, him. Like Jesus says, forgive him for he knows not what he is doing. Because he is what he is, deluded people do deluded things, angry people say angry things, abusive people say abusive things. They are just the way they are. And if I have this understanding born of Yoniso Manasikara, I can come to terms with reality. I can accept him as he is. Then I am at peace. But I still must act. It doesn't mean that I don't act and let him do what he likes. If I can apply the Noble Eightfold Path understanding with the right view, then I don't get angry. I don't stir my mind or react to what happened. Then he will not become violent. If you can say, I am sorry if I have caused you any misunderstanding. I really would like to apologize. The whole scenario will be different, right? Instead, if you try to justify and argue with him, you can get into big trouble. So why not develop the right speech and the right action to resolve it amicably by saying, if I had caused you any misunderstanding or harm, I would like to sincerely apologize. I am sorry and thank you for your kind understanding. The moment you start to apologize, he will also tone down and say, don't worry, small matter. I am also at fault, and the matter gets resolved amicably. Otherwise, if you hit his ego, he is going to be more and more angry, because chances are he doesn't have Dharma understanding. you don't expect him to be like an angel, ever ready to forgive you. So all these are part and parcel of how one can apply the teachings. The Buddha said, after you have listened to the true Dhamma, you can reflect and contemplate to develop the first and second turning wisdom. Then you put into test, and if it stands up to investigation, step 3 of Avijja Sutta, which is faith in the Buddha and his teachings, will be established. Then step 4 is when you have the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. When you have Yoniso Manasikara, do you know what will happen to you? You become less reactive and miss life because of this initial wisdom. After that, you will not heedlessly stir or react to sense experience like before. That is how you develop more equanimity. You will have more understanding to be more at peace with whatever arises within your mind. This is how you can have more and more moments of silence, more and more awareness, leading to more and more space between thoughts. This is how your daily mindfulness can stabilize. Without Yoniso Manasikara, the Buddha says, step 5, which is Satisambhajanya, cannot happen. You need to have the spiritual faculty to develop the step 5 meditative mind, Satisambhajanya. And this meditative mind needs to realize the wisdom, the initial wisdom born of listening to the true Dhamma and the contemplative reflection of on the Dhamma. This initial wisdom is Yoniso Manasikara. And when this wisdom stabilizes, step 5 is established. Then step 6 and 7 will follow. Do you know what step 6 is? Step 6 is sense restraint. When your initial wisdom developed, your Satisambhajanya, daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, becomes stable. Then you can see your defilements, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You can see them all. What constitutes evil, you will also understand. Then you can follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. How does one avoid all evils? Keep the precept. How does one keep the precepts? By reciting and cultivating. I undertake the training rule to abstain from all this killing and causing harm to fellow living beings, lying, committing sexual misconduct, etc. Clearly seeing the danger of breaking precepts via contemplating who will kill, who will harm, violent people, angry people, deluded people, and selfish people with all the three evil roots. You can see your subtle craving, subtle desire, subtle ego manifesting via wanting to be right, wanting to argue. So all this, you all start to see them. Three evil roots and meaning of anusaya, asava, and kilesa. Kilesa are normal defilements. Anusaya are negative habitual tendency, i.e. defilements that have become habitual. This movement from your anusaya inside can be very latent, always waiting to erupt. These are asava, very strong defilements, which are very latent and very active inside. Have you all heard of this Pali word, kilesa, asava, and anusaya? All this comes about because during your daily life, you don't have daily mindfulness. You are not heedful. You are heedless. And heedlessness gives rise to all these mental hindrances that make your behavior so negative and habitual. These develop into habitual tendency, which can be very latent. When it became very latent inside, it is like this asava, hidden inside, waiting for conditions to arise, to erupt and shoot out. Ehat Tole calls it the pain body, meaning emotional negativity. When nobody disturbs you, it is dormant, not active. But when people step on your tail or toe, that's pain body. It triggers off. That is why we call it the pain body. And or in Pali, we call it asava, very strong defilement. All these are very active and latent, said the Buddha. So without daily mindfulness and initial wisdom developed, you cannot deal with sense experiences having such defilements. As every instant of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, tactile and thought process, you cannot cope or handle because they move so fast. It is like they all arise simultaneously. When you come out to live life, you must act, you must see, you must make decisions, and everything moves so fast. And if you don't have mindfulness, you cannot be at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, and tactile consciousness to understand what is going on. You have no time to think. Moreover, thinking will not help you understand. What you need is wisdom and understanding. That is why this initial wisdom is spontaneous. It will come out and prompt you to develop the understanding spontaneously, thereby enabling you to act with understanding, following the Dharma way. You no longer act with delusion and ignorance via memories. You will act with Noble Eightfold Path. You will have the right view to accept the reality of the moment first. Then your mind cannot stir. There is clarity of mind. Then you know what your options are and how to resolve issues or things amicably. You will also know how to give rise to the right speech, right thought, right action, and you will live your life according to the right livelihood. But before that, you must constantly train your mind via diligently cultivating the four right efforts to abandon the wrong thoughts, wrong speeches, and wrong actions that had arisen. Then later, when your initial wisdom stabilized, you can give rise to the second right effort to prevent them from arising. When you can prevent them from arising, it means you already have sense restraint, which is step 6 of the Avijja Sutta. You will come to know these are wrong thoughts that condition your evil roots to make you evil, thereby causing you suffering. Then straight away the wrong thoughts will subside because of your wisdom born of the initial wisdom. When you can have sense restraint, it means your precept will be in order by then. You will not make mistake anymore. That is why Buddha said, after step 6, step 7 will arise. And what is step 7? It is the three ways of right conduct. You will have the ability to act correctly. And these right speeches, right action, and right thoughts will always be with you. That is why this first 7 steps of the Avijja Sutta is very powerful.
Okay, we have to stop there. Huh? So, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now you have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Eh? Okay, we off the light. Yeah.